All right. Well, again, if you're new with us, please, if you didn't get a card, it's like a visitor card or a guest card. Please, if you didn't get one of those, please don't run out. If you'd fill one of those out, we'd just like to follow up with you. And we won't sell you anything, I promise. But just touch base and thank you for coming and spending the morning with us. Amen. So in the middle of a series here, kind of breaking into several parts, but a few weeks back, talked for a couple of weeks about possessing the promises of God, right? Possessing his promises. So we're kind of in that theme. And as I shared a couple of Sundays ago, there's so much prophetic stuff going on right now that 2020 is going to be a real powerful year for the church, for the body of Christ. It's a pivotal year for our country, elections coming up and all that stuff. And I just feel the same way, man. I like reading that stuff. I don't get real caught up in all the spooky stuff, but I know that the Lord is calling the body of Christ. He's calling us to rise up and walk in the authority that Jesus purchased for us. Amen. And part of that, church, is as I said for several weeks here, a few weeks back I said that there, as far as I can tell, there's over 3,500 promises in the Bible. Over 3,500. I Googled it. I didn't count them all. I just Googled it. I'm not gonna lie. All right. I didn't. That would take a long time to count them all. But let's just say, even if there's like half that many, right? That's a lot. And there's many promises that are just gonna happen, right? The Lord says, "Look, I'm gonna do this at this period of time. Here's what's gonna happen." But I'm gonna say like 80% of these promises, 85% of them, roughly, right? Don't quote me on that number, but roughly 80% of these promises are attached to somehow to how what we've got to do. We've got to partner with the Lord, right? We've got to agree with God. We've got to some type of act of faith. Can I get amen? Amen. Right? Just read through the book of Hebrews 11, Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going there today, but it says by faith, these guys did it by faith, they did this, by faith, they did this, right? If they never responded to the Lord in faith, whatever they were famous for doing never would have happened. Can I get amen? Right? So last Sunday we talked about what are you leaning on. We're in part two of that. We're going to get into Proverbs 3. And if any of you know, I know Proverbs 3, we bind that thought in Jesus' name. Because the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit. Amen. Church, I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and I still read and go, oh my gosh, how did I miss that? I've read that 1,000 times and never seen that. Right? The Word of God is deeper. We'll never get to the bottom of it. Can I get amen? So last week, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I'm not going to go back there a lot, but Romans 12, 1 and 2, right, verse 2 is the big one, right? Do not be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? The way that our lives change is by allowing the Spirit of God to change how we think, right? Church, it's not about me trying to think different. Can I get amen from one person in the church this morning, right? Come on, man. How many people tried thinking better on your own? Right? If I had six hands, I'd raise all six of them, man. Right? How many people tried doing that today? Look, it's not about trying. That's religion. Jesus didn't buy us religion. Jesus bought us life. Jesus bought us freedom. Jesus bought us power, man, right? So it's surrendering. We sang that song, I surrender. It's just like, I am not going to think this way, and I'm just going to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to rewire my brain. Can I get amen? Right? I said last Sunday about Adam and Eve. We'll go back there real fast, but just for a moment. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the Bible says that God says, if you eat this from this tree, you will die, right? When they ate it, did they die? No. They lived for like a couple hundred years, but something died in them, right? And so the smartest man that's ever lived since Adam and Eve only uses like 8% of his brain. You guys know that, right? You can look it up. So did God make your brain to use 8% of it? Right? You only need 8% of it to be a human, right? You only need 8% of your brain to like breathe and like eat and mow the grass and go to work and stuff like that. The other 92% or so is the spiritual portion of our mind that because of the sin of Adam and Eve died. It lies dormant. It's there, but it's powerless. Amen. When we get saved, the Spirit of God comes into us. He starts breathing life into that part of our minds that's been dead for however long you've been alive for. Can I get amen? And that's the stuff that's the part of our mind. If we try to look at the kingdom with that 8%, the carnal stuff, it makes no sense. right? It's the that other part of my mind that's coming alive, and I read my Bible, and I go, oh my gosh, boom, that's not 8%, that's the other 92% that's coming to life. Can I get amen? You understand what I'm saying? How many people want to use all what you got? Sounds good. So this morning, we're going to get into Proverbs 3, as I said a moment ago, but Proverbs 3, in my Bible, is subtitled like this, The Rewards of Wisdom. Anybody else's Bible got a subtitle in it? You got a different translation? Chapter 3 of Proverbs, does it say something? Shout it out. Blessings of Wisdom, somebody said that? Yeah. So I want to talk about this for just a moment. So this is not actually like original text in the Bible, but these are two concepts I want to talk about for just a moment because it fits into right where we're at. Amen. So the rewards of wisdom. Everybody say rewards. Rewards. Hebrews 11, I said we weren't going to go there, but I was kidding. We're going to go just one verse in Hebrews 11. Chapter 11, verse 6. You guys got it up there? Let's read this together. Church, we know this one, but I want to show you something that maybe you've never seen. Amen. Without faith, let's all read it together. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him or please God, right? For he who comes to God must what? Believe that he is and that he is a what? Let's say it together. Rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. Father, we ask this morning, as we dive into your word, let the power of the Holy Spirit bring something to life inside of us, God. I pray for an aha moment in every single one of our hearts, God, that something clicks and we go, I get it. I'm catching it. Lord, we know that we only understand the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we welcome you in fresh, more and more and more of you right now in the next few moments in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at this phrase for a minute. When we come to God, let's back up. Without, say it together, faith, right? So faith, let's unspookify faith for a minute. We get so spooky about faith. The Greek word for faith, the original text, literally, if you break it all the way down, just means confidence. How many people think confidence is not spooky? Because what we say in church is we back up a couple of verses and say, well, Pastor, I know what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, well, what does that mean? Right? That's still spooky. Can I get amen? Right? But faith, the original Greek word, the word that the writer of Hebrews uses here, the Greek word is pistis, amen, P-I-S-T-I-S. You break it all the way down, it means confident. So God speaks to my heart about something. Faith always starts with God. Can I get amen? Faith never starts with me. If it starts with me, it's not faith. I'm going to get in trouble, right? Faith always starts from the throne of God. He speaks to your heart. A prophet comes in and gives you a word that you should confirm. Can I get amen in Jesus' name, right? Just because you get prophesied over doesn't mean you should run with it. Get it firmed up, right? Amen. Get some confirmation from that word. But the point is, church, that faith always starts with God. God, there's not one person in the Bible that said, I think I'm going to do this for God. And God goes, man, that's a great idea. You should do it. Many of the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord directs his steps. Amen. If you write some plans down, you better write them in pencil. Yeah, like on a whiteboard and have like 10 erasers ready, all right, because he's going to mess them up. Right? So faith is always a confident, say this with me, church, a confident response to God. God tells you to do something, he puts something on your heart. Faith is the confident response. Lord, if you told me to do it, I know I can do it. Right? Doesn't that sound better than getting spooky about it? Right? So without confidence, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that he what? Is. Everybody say is. That he is what? That he is. Right? That he is who he says he is. That he is going to do what he said he's going to do. There's the confidence, church. Can I get amen? Come on, you've either been here or you're going to go here. We're all going to go through times in life when we're going to do something that is scaring the you-know-what's out of you. It makes no sense. You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You ain't got to the tunnel yet. Can I get amen? I am terrified of doing this, but you know God's drawing your heart saying, come on, come on. You can do it, right? And if I believe, as I read my Bible, ever say read my Bible, and I see who God is throughout the scriptures, I see the story of God, and I see God time and time and time and time, dozens of times over and over, come through and come through and come through and come through. I say, okay, if he did it then, he's going to do it now. Amen, church? Read some stories of faith in the Bible and pretend that you don't know how it works out. Come on, we read them, we're like, oh, of course that worked out fine. But be the dude that's in it right there. Wait a minute, you want me to kill my son? The one I waited 25 years for? You want me to kill this promise? Right? We're like, well, of course it worked out. There's a ram in the bushes. Okay, but he didn't know that. Abraham, can I get amen? Right? But church, every time God calls us and we're like, man, this makes no sense. He says, yeah, just keep going. I'm going to show you there's a ram in your bushes too. I heard one, this is Pastor Ryan, by the way. He taught it like this one time. I don't think I've ever told you guys this. But Abraham was a Babylonian. Do you guys know that? From Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham was a heathen. Abraham worshipped false gods. Abraham was not a righteous man. God just chose him. Oh, Lord, am I good enough for you to choose me? Yes, you are. Because he chose Abraham and he was evil. Can I get amen? Doesn't it make you feel better? All right? So when God tells him sacrifice your son, it wasn't foreign to Abraham because that's what his culture would do. The gods that they worshipped, they would sacrifice their children in fire to these gods. Why was Abraham, is he confident in the Lord? I mean, he says the lad not going to return, but you see what I'm saying? Like that whole concept of sacrificing my son, Abraham's like, okay, maybe this God is kind of like the gods I already serve. But as he cocks the knife back, he hears this booming voice out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Right? God's saying, I'm not like those gods. I'll provide my own sacrifice. Amen? It's good, man. Jesus is not like any other God. You guys all right with this? Here's the really good phrase. You ready? We must, if we come to God, we must believe that he is, and, I'm going to say and, that he is a, what? A rewarder of those who seek him. The Greek word, I saw this many years ago, I was studying this, and I just jumped off my page, rewarder. I said, man, what a funny word. The Greek word here literally means, church, one who pays wages. I was like, whoa. So the writer of Hebrews probably is Paul. Might be Paul. Whoever wrote it, he says that God is a rewarder of those who seek him, right? So the word those, we see this word those all through the Bible. It's denoting a group of people, right? Romans 8:28, God works together, all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Not for everybody. God works all things together for good for those who have responded to the call. Right? Can I get amen? Hebrews 11 says the same thing, that God is a rewarder. He pays wages to those distinctive group who what? Seek him. How many people think that feels warm and fuzzy? Man, does it go against American Christianity, doesn't it? Pastor, I thought I could do it. I heard one guy say I could do whatever I want. I just got to show up to church for an hour on Sunday, and I could just live however I want. God's going to bless me. Well, he was lying to you. Can I get amen, church? Right? Listen, we got to get something, all right? Because in America, this is when we've had it. We've gone through seasons at our church here. Maybe some of you struggle with this. In America, the biggest question in America in the church is, does God really love me? Come on, man. How many of y'all been through something and you're like, wow, if this is how God loves me, what if he's angry? All right, this don't feel good at all. You know, when I really started seeking God many years ago, I spent an entire year with a journal. I've told so many of you to journal, get a notebook and journal, spend time with the Lord, talk to the Lord, listen to what he's saying. 1 year straight, all that God told me was, I love you. Every day. 1 year. After like 9 months of that, I was like, all right, I got it. Can we talk about something else now? Seriously, like I want something a little deeper than that. Right? 3 more months after I said I was ready, he's like, you're not done yet. We got to flip you over, cook the other side. Right? Come on, church. But you know what? It got something in my spirit that said, I don't care what happens to me, I will never for one millisecond question whether or not God loves me. My goodness gracious, if we can't get over the truth that love is displayed on the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, God displayed his love for you in Christ Jesus hanging on a cross, man. If I question whether God loves me, all I got to do is look at that thing and say, okay, he loves me. While I was a sinner, he sent his son to hang on a cross for me. I don't need one more thing than that to prove that God loves me. Right? And church, if we can't get that foundation stone in our spirit, man, we're going to get rocked by every little thing that doesn't go the way we want it to go. Amen. That's good preaching. Let's think about it like this. One who pays wages, right? How many people have a job in here? How many people want a job? Everybody that's got a job, put their hands down. I don't want my job. Nah. A couple of friends of mine, we joke around like, man, if I can figure out how to make enough money to live without working, I will do it, and I'll let y'all know how I did it, all right? I'd probably do this for free, but you know what I'm saying, man. Most of us work because we get rewarded every week or 2 weeks or whatever. Can I get amen? How many of y'all would keep doing your job if they stopped paying you? We got a psh over here. Anybody else got any wonderful emotional responses for your place of employment? Lord, we thank you for the way you're providing for us in Jesus' name. Well, come on, church. If the paychecks dried up, you'd be like, deuces, I'm out, bro. Right? Come on, man. We get this reward system, right? We like it. We're like, okay, the reward could be a little nicer, a little bigger. It would be nice, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's this concept. When I show up to work every day at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whatever it is, and I work X amount of hours, and then I go home, and I do that for a certain period of time, I get this paycheck, and it's a reward for what I've done. One who pays wages. Are you catching what I'm saying? God is one who pays wages when we put some time in. Man, I can feel it. Y'all are like, oh, I should have skipped church. See, now there's two ways we can look at this. We can look at it like the immature American gospel that we've built in America for the last 3 decades or 4 decades or so. Right, the church 40 years ago was pretty powerful, and now we're wimpy. Can I get amen, church? Right, we can't handle nothing anymore. The Bible tells us that if I invest into God, if I spend time working for the Lord, if I spend time seeking God, he guarantees that I'm going to get paid. The problem is, we get some stuff stuck in our mind of how he's supposed to pay us. Can I get an amen from anybody who's been around the block a few times? Said, wait a second, I thought I was going to get paid this. And he's like, nope, here's what you get. Praise God. Right? I read something recently. It says, you know, the point of prayer is not to get an answer. It's to get a hold of God. See, if we pray for an answer, guess what's probably not going to come for a little bit? Doesn't that sound so like backwards? We're like, okay, so what do I pray for? He's like, just pray. Well, why? Because I told you to. Amen. We're just warm and fuzzy today. Lots of goosebumps. We're feeling great. Amen. What this is pointing us towards, church, is, everybody say it with me, maturity. 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 So the writer of Hebrews is not talking about getting saved. He's not talking about going to heaven. He's not talking about getting healed. Everybody say getting healed. He's not talking about getting healed. He's not talking about all these promises. There's dozens of promises that are guaranteed because Jesus hung on a cross for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? What he is talking about is, if you want to see anything beyond like basic level Christianity, you got to put some time in. Right? This is not about getting to heaven whenever your earth suit wears out. It's about getting some heaven coming through you. Right? See, prayer is not about me trying to twist God's arm. Because let's, church, I couldn't twist his pinky if I wanted to. I've been going to the gym and I still can't do it. Come on, man. You can't make God do one thing. You can cry. You can. I love fasting. I'm going to preach on fasting. I've got a whole new revelation on fasting. I got a few weeks back. The Lord gave it to me. I said, dude, that, I was talking to someone. I said, man, I'm going to write this down because it's so good. We think fasting is like a magic trick. Like we're going to pull a rabbit out of it. I'm going to fast. Lord, look, I fasted for 6 days. And he's like, good. These times only come out by prayer and fasting, right? So with fast, I'm going to skip bacon cheeseburgers for a week and think now I can cast the demon out. Oh my goodness, that's not what Jesus is saying, church. Come on, man. It's not a magic trick. Fasting is about becoming more like Jesus. That's what he's saying, man. I'm giving you a nugget for when I preach on it, man. Fasting is so that I die. When I'm at the end of fasting, if I'm still cranky and bent out of shape, all you did was lose some weight. Praise God. And got some bad breath. Anybody ever get fasting breath? It's disgusting. Like stomach bile breath, man. It's just nasty and gross. You can smell it from like 3 rows back, man. It's crazy. Can I get an amen, church? Fasting is designed and intended to make me more like Jesus, right in the center of who I am. Because that's what he's saying. The reason you don't have the authority to cast that demon out, I'm so far off my notes. He says, because you're not like me. And if I gave you the power to cast that demon out, you would abuse the power. You would use it to do damage and hurt people and manipulate people and twist it around. So I'm not going to give it to you because then you're responsible for it. That's pretty good preaching right there. See, he says, if you're like me, I can give it to you because you're not going to misuse it. That's what fasting is about. It's not about, oh, God, look how much I didn't eat. Dude. There was two dudes for that one, man. I've seen people fast for 25 days, and they're still cranky. I'm like, keep going. You didn't make it. It's so good, man. Seeking him. Seeking him. Come on, man. So I think probably all of us could say that we've had times with the Lord where he shows up like a toenail comes in the room of the Lord, right? And we're just like, whoa. Whatever I need an answer for doesn't even matter right now. Because he's here. Come on. You know what I'm saying, church? This is where God's calling us to, man. There was a revival broke out. I think it was in the Baltimore. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. Maybe I'm mixing two stories up, man. But this church, they went in, this Tommy Tenney. If you guys ever heard of Tommy Tenney, he wrote a book. His first one was good. Then he's just making money on the next four he wrote. The first one's real good, though, God Chasers. If you guys have read that book, you can read it in like 2 hours. It's a quick read, but, man, it's a powerful book. And he tells a story about this church in Baltimore. It was a rock church. So, like, same roots as our church, amen? And he was there, and it was, God had been moving. They'd been seeing some crazy stuff going on. And he's during worship, they're worshiping, and he says, all of a sudden, the worship team starts dropping like flies. Like, the singers start, boom, they just go out. And then the guitar player, boom, the drummer falls on the drums, man. I mean, like, they're just dropping, and everybody's crying. It's crazy. And it just gets the keyboard players, like, slumped on the keyboard, holding just, like they're just and the place is like crazy, like the power of God's so thick and strong, they're like not sure what to do. And the pastor leans over to Tommy Tenney and says, I think I've got a word from the Lord. And so he tells Tommy, and Tommy says, get up there, man, get up there and give it. And the pastor walks up to the pulpit. It was a plexiglass thing. We're going to get one someday when we want to be fancy. All right, but these plexiglass pulpits, church, they're designed to carry pressure, right? PSI? This pulpit, I've seen a picture of this pulpit. All right, it's designed to withstand like 1,200 pounds of pressure per square inch. That's a lot. All right, he gets up behind this plexiglass pulpit, grabs the microphone, and he says, church, the word of the Lord this morning, and he's crying, and he says, we need to stop seeking God's hand and start seeking his face. And the story in the book is that he said, you didn't see it, but it was like a lightning bolt hit the pulpit. The pulpit physically split in half right down the middle. And the pastor got blown backwards in the air, boom, like he got hit with lightning, 20 feet, and took some bushes out on the back of the platform. Is that right? Two different churches. I knew I was mixing stories up, all right? But something similar. So they get all done. This guy's like, what? In church, they're climbing over the chairs because they can't get down to the front of the church fast enough. What? Right? If we're just trying to get stuff from God, he'll give you stuff because he's good. But when he gives us stuff, he's like, man, do you want more than my stuff? Right? When Moses is, man, I'm going to have to preach this sermon next Sunday, man. I'm in trouble. When Moses is leading the people out of Egypt, they're rebellious and they're cranky and they're complaining. We should have stayed in Egypt. We should have stayed in Egypt. Over and over. There's not enough food to eat. We don't like Stop and Shop rotisserie chickens. We don't like toaster strudels. They're just complaining, man. All they do is complain. You know, God says that 40 years they walked around, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. 40 years, man. I'd be like, praise God, I don't have to spend money on clothes. Man, awesome. So good. But church, at one point, God's like, look, he says to Moses, look, I'm done. I'm done with these people. He says, but every promise I've made is going to happen. But I'm not going. I'm done. I've read that story so many times that I'm thinking to myself, it's not a bad deal. Come on, church, I'm just being real. Like, I'm thinking if I'm Moses, okay, so if you're still going to do everything you told us you're going to do, but you're not coming and we can just kind of do whatever we want now? Sounds like church. But you know what Moses says? If you don't go, we're not going. I don't want your stuff. I want you. Church, man, I have been times that that's like, I could not care less if God does one more thing for me for the rest of my life. I just want you. I just want you. Right? There's what we got to get. You know what? If we get that in our hearts, there's a paycheck coming. He'll reward that. Because I'm losing myself and all the selfish junk. Oh, Lord, just fix this. Church, please, man, if you got something to pray about, please pray about it. Man, please hear what I'm saying, right? But it's like, Lord, if you never fix this, I'm still going to worship you like you did. Yeah? See, there's two ways we can look at this. Man, I am not going to get as far as I was planning. Praise God. There's two ways we can look at this concept, all right? We can look at this and saying, well, God is so mean if he's going to make me do something. Or, right, which is just selfish and immature, right? When our kids do that, we're like, you just want to lay hands on them, right? Like snuggly, right? And just hug them tight. Squeeze something out of them, right? Can I get amen, church, right? So we can look at it and get cranky and bent out of shape and be like, what do you mean I got to do something? Or we can see it as an invitation from God. You know, come up here, right? We want God to come down. He says, no, you come up. Come up. Come up higher. He says to John in Revelation, come up. I could come down. I'm God. I can do whatever I want. I could come down. But he says, no, you come up. Come up here, and then you'll see what's going to happen. I'll show you what's going to happen. Come up, right? Change how you think. Change how you're looking at things, right? Allow the Spirit of God to rewire you, right? You will. It's guaranteed that God's going to do something. Amen? Everybody okay with this? Reward, right? So the second half of the subtitle, we didn't even get into the actual scriptures yet, amen? The second half of the subtitle, the rewards of, everybody say wisdom. Wisdom, right? James 3:17. You know what? Guys, let me steal your Bible, bro. I'm gonna read one verse, but we're gonna tear it up. You're still in Proverbs, man? Come on. You're supposed to be where I need you to be, man. Come on. I gotta start bringing my Bible. I already turned to James 3. It's way in the back. Let me get there. I think it's out. Yeah, there it is. Here we go. James 3. Go to verse 13. Y'all there? Can you guys get it up on the TVs? Verse 13. So this is subtitled Wisdom from Above. Everybody say above. So if there's wisdom from above, that means that there's one other place wisdom comes from. Right? If there's wisdom that comes from up there, that means that there's wisdom that comes from down, not here, down there. Right? Let's read this. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his, what church? Good behavior. That means you got to be nice. And his deeds in the everybody say gentleness of wisdom. You ever have somebody feel like they got to be wise with you, but they're not gentle? That's not from God. God's wisdom is gentle. We're going to get there in a second. But, everybody say but. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. Some of your Bibles will say sensual right there, right? For the second one. Everybody got that? Look at, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. So if we back up a verse, where does he say jealousy is? In your what? In my heart. So if there's jealousy and selfish ambition in my heart, and where jealousy and selfish ambition lie, therein lies evil, disorder or confusion, is King James Version, and every form of evil, that means that those things are in my heart. If I'm not allowing the Spirit of God to purge my heart of selfishness and envy and jealousy and all these deeds of the flesh, the Bible says that in my heart is confusion and every form of evil. How many people struggle with confusion? Just be honest. This is safe right here, man. I'm not mad. We're working something out. Yeah? Because James is also the guy that says that if we ask for wisdom and don't doubt, that God will give it to us. He'll give us more than we need. Right? But he says the only way that we don't receive the wisdom we ask for is therefore a double-minded man, because he's unstable in all of his ways. That's also in the book of James. Can I get amen, church, right? So it's got to be this double-minded means I want some of this wisdom, but I also am going to stand on some of this wisdom. Like the spiritual hokey-pokey, man. Put my left foot in, He's like, man, you just got to go swimming, bro. Stop the hokey pokey and just jump in. Right? But, everybody say but. The wisdom from above, say above, is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable. We're going to break all this down in a minute. Full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness, look into what he says. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? Let's tear this down just a little bit. So we have the wisdom from down there. The wisdom from below is three things, church, right? Earthly, or of the earth is the Greek word. Natural, the Greek word there means unspiritual, or of the soul. And demonic. Oh, strong. Greek word is demon-like. Demon-like. So here's what, I'm going to just hit this, I want to maybe hit these three just for a moment. Here's what demon-like wisdom looks like. We've all experienced this. God will never try to manipulate you. Should have got an amen. I got a couple of head nods. God is never going to manipulate you. He's a straight shooter, man, straight as they come. Right? He's going to be like, look, here it is, black and white. Here's how it works. You do this, I do this. You do this, I do this, blah, blah, blah. Right? He's not going to play games with you. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to make you do it. He'll give you the power to do it when you say yes. It's called grace. Right? It's God at work in you to do both will to do for his good pleasure. Right? It's not my ability to do it. It's his ability in me to do it. Can I get amen? But demonic wisdom, church, is wisdom that sounds good, but there's a string attached to it. Right? It sounds like I'm saying something good, right? It's, again, the devil's not stupid. He's not going to show up in a red jumpsuit with horns and a pitchfork. You'd hit him with a frying pan, man, right? He's going to sneak in the back door. He's going to climb in the back window. He's going to try to work his way in. It sounds good, looks good, right? But if you peel the back a little bit and see the foundation of it, there's manipulation in it. There's seduction in it. There's deception in it, right? I'm not really being nice to you. I'm being nice because I want something. Demonic. You know how hard it is to not try to control stuff? I'm talking to the wrong crowd this morning. You all, none of you like to control things, do you? Do you know that it's demonic to try to control things? It's demonic to try to control our own stuff. But then we try to control other people. I try to control you. Demonic. It's from a demon. Ouch. As parents, you know what? As parents, I've got four. You got some new folks. I got four kids, four little girls. Well, some of them are like medium size. They'll always be little. I'll be 110 and they'll still be my little girls, you know, if I make it. I'm going to make it. 110. Who's with me, right? We got to see revival, man. If I got to live that long to see it, that's all right. Amen. All right. But you know what I'm saying, man? As a father, the Bible's very, very clear that I need to discipline my kids. I need to make sure I raise my kids right. But then I'm also warned, don't provoke your children to anger. I can't control my kids. I've got to corral them. Right? I've got to guide them. And as a father, sometimes we look at stuff and we're like, okay, 5 seconds, like my brain starts working. Okay, they're not going to die if they do that. Worst case scenario. So if they're not going to die, go ahead. You think that's going to be so clever, knock yourself out. Right, and then they come out, oh, Dad, I shouldn't have done that. Right, it's what I said. I mean, I give them a hug, and that's what I'm thinking, though, in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I hug them and snuggle, you know, scratch, like, scratchy face on their face, you know, like sandpaper. Can I get amen, church? Control is demonic. The church, for a long time, the body of Christ has been full of it. I'm going to control you. We got leadership tries to control folks. You know what? I tell people all the time, I'm really going to preach the rest of this message next Sunday, all right? This is so good. We're digging deep here, man. I tell my wife one time, I said, babe, you know, we've been married 20 years this year. I said, babe, you know what? I used to manipulate. I used to be pretty good at it, you know? And she goes, you ever manipulate me? I said, see? Got a ring on it, you know what I mean? Right? Dude. And so, I mean, when God started working on my heart, I was never going to be a pastor. I had no intention of ever being a pastor or being in ministry at all, man. I was the guitar guy. I'm cool, right? But when the Lord started drawing me, saying, look, I've got something for you to do. Boy, he started digging that stuff out of my soul, and it was not pretty. He started showing me. I was doing it, didn't even know I was doing it. You know what that looks like? When you do something nice, and you don't think you got strings hooked to it, but then they don't respond the way you want them to, and you get mad. You're trying to control it. Right? 9 years I've been pastoring. It's hard, man. I'm like, look, I just figured when I took over, I figured everybody read their Bible and do what they're supposed to do, right? Wow, was I stupid? Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know. I thought that's what I was going to do. You know what I mean? Like, dude. So, my goodness. Is this all right? Control. God will never control you. He'll empower you. You step out for God, you can quit anytime you want. He gonna make you. He gonna make you do it. See, we want all the power, and then we'll step out. He says, no, you step, and I'll give you the power. This is real good, man. I'm gonna watch this when I get home. Natural, we're backing up. So we got demon-like wisdom. We've got natural. It's all one from down there. It's demon-like, natural, right? Talking with a new friend of mine the other day, I said, look, we've got to understand that as humans, we're not just psychological beings, right? Listen, counselors, great, man. We need counselors out there. Bible talks about getting counsel. But you know what? Here's my advice. If you need counseling for something, be careful who you get counsel with, especially if you're a believer, right? If you're a believer, you really should find a believer because they understand, right? That's important, man, because if you don't know someone without a believer, they don't understand. They don't understand that there's a spirit inside of me. Like that alien movie, you know, it's like must have come out, you know what I mean? It's just better looking than that, I think. If you've ever seen that movie, you know, it's kind of weird. But do you see what I'm saying, church? You are not just a mind. You're not just a brain. You're not just chemicals. Oh, you have a chemical imbalance. Maybe you do, but the Holy Spirit can fix that. Because you're not just chemicals. You're not just a muscle in your chest going boom, 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 boom. You have a spirit. Right? And not everything's a demon. Can I get amen? But we need some discernment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe there is an evil spirit going on. So my point is, wisdom from above is not going to. I've got a new friend of mine down on the coast. He's preaching this Sunday, starting a sermon series called "The Gospel and Mental Health." He's got a psychiatrist in his church, one of his worship leaders. She's a licensed psychiatrist. They're preaching together. I was like, wow, y'all come up and preach here when you're done. Right, church, because there's sometimes that there's looking. It's all, what's going on, what's messing your life up is emotional trauma. There's nothing, there's not a demon. You got hurt. And maybe there's something getting in through your pain, but you don't need to cast a demon out. You need to get healed. Right? But there could be a time when you got a demon and that's what's got to happen. You got to cast that demon out. Is that all right? Natural wisdom is going to only talk to your flesh. Earthly, right? It's from the earth. It's just basic, man. Can I get amen? All right, let's move on here. Almost done. But then James tells us that the wisdom from above is, let's read the pure. The Greek word means holy. Everybody say holy. Holy just means not from here. Amen? It's peaceable, right? If wisdom, if somebody's giving you some wisdom that's producing turmoil, it's from down there, not from up there. Amen? Gentle, reasonable. The Greek word for reasonable means ready to obey. The wisdom that comes from God, from the Holy Spirit, is ready to obey, right? Next, it's full of mercy and good fruits. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. Right? Some of you are new with us. I'm just going to say this. I say it quite a bit when we get talking about this stuff. You know, we need to redefine in America what makes a ministry fruitful. Oh, look at that church. It's so fruitful. It's packed. Find that in the Bible. Doesn't exist. Fruitful is, are the people you got growing? Are they displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Right? And how you know what fruit you got is when you get squeezed. Come on, church. Everybody's nice when things are going good, but get squeezed in what comes out. Right? If something goes wrong and I get squeezed and I... that comes out, right? That ugly stuff. Come on, we all know it. I don't got to tell you what's in here. You know if something's ugly in there, right? And all it is just lay it down. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be that person, right? I want to have these... the fruit of the Spirit. Is that right, church? Unwavering. That Greek word means without uncertainty, right? It goes back to faith, confidence, right? The wisdom from above is unwavering, without uncertainty. And lastly, church, without hypocrisy. So this Greek word is really interesting. It means not as on a stage. Right? So you know what we do? When we get on a stage is we're acting, right? Without hypocrisy, it's one Greek word for those two English words, one Greek word, and it means not as on a stage. I'm not pretending, right? When I'm stepping out on God, it's genuine and it's real. Can I get an amen? Right? In church, that means, look, if you're having a hard time, be real about it. Oh, my goodness, I tell all folks all the time, look, I can work with real. I don't care what you did, okay? If you're real, we can work with it. If you're going to show up to church and pretend, look, you trick all of us, man. You can trick me with that stuff. Can't trick God with it, right? Be real, man. This is an all right place to be real. Can I get amen? Right? Some of you have been here a little bit. You're in pretty rough shape when you showed up. You're still here. I was looking in this general direction. You just happen to be sitting by yourself in that general direction. Right? Come on, man. We've all been a mess. We're all going to be a mess at some time, probably again. We're all going to get in a mess. And part of the Bible tells us that one of the reasons that community is so important is because when I get in a mess, I need some brothers and sisters to pick me up and clean me up and say, man, you're all right. You're going to make it. Is that right? Yeah? All right, almost done. Turn with me to Proverbs 3. This actually worked out really good. I will not preach on Proverbs 3 today. I'm going to read it in three different translations and let you guys go home. This is so good. I like doing this once in a while. So next Sunday, in case you want to skip, I'm going to be preaching out of Proverbs 3. So if you don't like it, then stay home. I'm just kidding. Don't stay home, please. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6. Just going to read it. Three translations. I will not preach at all. We're going to go home. Amen. My son, do not forget my teaching. This is the translation I preach out of. But let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with, man, I want to preach so bad right now, all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. New Living Translation. My child, never forget the things I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Finally, in the Message. If you guys never read the Message, it's pretty good to read once in a while. It's not good to study it. It's good to just read to get a kind of a different spin. Amen. Good friend, don't forget all I've taught you. Take to heart my commands. They'll keep you, they'll help you live a long, long time. A long life lived full and well. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And we'll pray. I want to challenge y'all this week. Read Proverbs 3. Read the whole thing. Read it every day. It'll take you literally like 3 minutes. Okay? Read it every day and just say, Lord, get this in my heart. Because look at, just in those 6 verses, there's 3 promises right there. Right? If you do this, God will do this. You do this, God will do this. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We ask, Lord, that we'd hear this invitation to come up. That we'd see you, as we talked about this morning, that you are a rewarder of those that seek you. If we seek you, not just your stuff, not just your blessing, not just your hand, if we seek you with a genuine heart, Lord, you will reward us. It's your promise, God. You will do it. Father, I ask that this week, as we read this proverb every day, that God, we'd let go of thinking you're going to answer us the way you want us to, the way we want you to. And we're just going to say, Lord, however you want to answer me, it's all right. I know you're going to answer me, and however you want to do it, you know what I need. You know where I'm at, and I'm going to trust you that you are going to reward me exactly the way I need to be rewarded. So, Father, we thank you for this time together. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Amen. If you need prayer, please come on up. We'll pray with you and bless you in the name of the Lord. God bless you guys. Have an awesome, awesome week.